Now, let me just tell you something here before we get into this. Bobby is going to be talking with us about her cat. It's a veterinary thing. It's a veterinary topic. We got into a discussion because Bobby has two cats and she's got a dog.
Well, I know she's got Godzilla and Pepperidge Farm.
What? Who are they?
Those are the cats, all right. And then the dog is who, Phil?
I think her dog's name is a big schnauzer. No, wait, hold on. What do you mean Godzilla? General, how many have you had pets? Of course, we've got a Weimaraner, Susie.
Well, what?
What's wrong with that? Well, the point is, people call their pets a lot of different things, don't they?
I suppose so.
All right, so we're going to hung up on what she calls her pets. So she's got Pepperidge Farm. That's the name of the cat, huh?
Don't get hung up on it, Phil. All right. Yes, that's... Why don't you get her on the line here before we go nuts?
All right, good idea. Bobby Dooley joining us from Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Bobby is joined also with her husband. So, Bobby, what... you've got some music playing there in the background.
Turn it down, Steve, would you?
You lied to me.
We're just playing some music this evening. We did have some friends in, and I think we're gonna. I think Janice Greeley's gonna be in later.
All right, but so what happened with the cats?
Well, what happened was this: we took Godzilla into our veterinarian. It's over here at Western Estates Veterinary Clinic, and we talked to Dr. Boozler, and he recommended this prescription diet.
Now, Bobby, this is General Shaw. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, certainly.
The cat that's named Godzilla. What? Why did you name the cat Godzilla?
Well, that's our kitten. It's a little tiny kitten.
Oh, so you named the kitten that,
So all of a sudden now you're interested.
I'm interested now, yes.
Here, I'll do it.
I'll do it, Steve. We named the kitten. The kitten is small, a little small orange kitten, a little ball of fur, and the first thing that came into my mind was Godzilla.
Yeah, we just thought it. You see a little kitten and you see a city just being burned it up.
You know. What's funny about that?
Well, obviously that's funny, Bobby. You see a city being burned up when you see a little kitten.
Because the opposite came into mind. Here's this little fur ball, this little creature that you would protect with your own life. I think I'd give my life for Godzilla.
Yeah, she's so cute.
And so I'm thinking, well, isn't that really a comment on the world that we live in? And what is the opposite of that? Well, the opposite of that is wanton, cruel, sadistic destruction by a mutant. You see, and Godzilla is the furthest thing from a mutant you would ever find. A cute little... I'm spending way too much time explaining this.
Yeah, my wife's tiring out now. You better get to the point here, okay?
Yeah, I will, Mr. Dooley. I just had a couple of questions about that, you know.
It was my mistake, Phil.
No, it wasn't a mistake. They asked the question.
Right, but my wife's tiring out now. So what are we on tonight for?
You called us, Mr. Dooley. Bobby called us and wanted to talk about the cats and the visit to the veterinary clinic.
Well, my wife's tired of...
I've got it. Okay, here's what I wanted to know, Phil, because I know you have a couple of cats, too, and a dog.
We got the little chihuahua and...
Well, you don't have to run it down for me, but you do.
Yes, I do.
All right. The veterinarian over there, Dr. Boozler at Western Estates... veterinary clinic recommended these prescription... Steve, would you turn that down?
I'm listening to it. Lie to me.
What is it with all of the guests on this show? They listen to the same
record?
Yes.
Are you... Steve, did you hear that? She goes, yeah, it is.
Yeah, you guys are out of control tonight.
Not yet, man, but it's going to be soon enough. All right, so where were we?
You were going to ask me what?
I think we were done asking. You said Dr. Boozler.
Oh, yes. Dr. Boozler recommended a diet of meat. Now, this is a prescription diet. It's hypoallergenic because the animals... I noticed that Godzilla had...
Oh, my God. She's laughing on the word diarrhea. God, baby, grow up.
You just called me baby in front of all these people? You're dirty. Sit down.
No hitting.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Dooley, can we get on with this? So
anyway, we took the kitten in to be, as any responsible pet owner would. If you have a kitten or you have puppies, I'm sure all of you folks out there know to take them in for their shots, their vaccinations, their inoculations, and also to, you know, take their blood pressure.
Like a rectal exam?
How dare you?
Well, what do you mean blood pressure?
Phil, didn't you tell me your cat had its blood pressure taken?
That we have the one. Our cat Brea is 14 years old. She's an old lady, so she's got a lot of stuff happening with her that I don't imagine a kitten has to be, you know, treated for.
Well, it's not treatment, though.
Yeah, so what about it? I mean, a kitten had its blood pressure. What? So what? Man, a little kitten that had its blood pressure taken.
Are you telling me what I had the doctor do to my cat?
So it took, I mean, he took...
It's a doctor, not an it.
Dr. Boozler took the kitten's blood pressure and a rectal exam.
Hey, how come you're saying that, General, to make my wife look stupid?
Well, come to think of it, no, he didn't check the blood pressure. I just assumed, you know, because...
It's not really a human examination.
No, it isn't. Anyway, the doctor said at the conclusion, have you heard of the hypoallergenic diets that are going around? And I said, no, I haven't. Tell me. He said, everyone's doing it, and it's all the rage, and it's all the, you know, it's all the rage. And I said, well, what is it? And he sort of teased me because the doctor knows that I'd like to be in, and I like to do everything what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, he kept teasing her with it.
Yeah, so I said, well, what? He goes, well, I don't know if I want to tell you. And
well, this was all the rage.
Yeah, it's all the rage, and it's in.
Yeah, so what was it?
Well, I don't want to necessarily tell you.
Bobby, we're burning daylight.
All right. It's the hypoallergenic foods. There are three kinds of meats that cats should be fed that's best for them. And it's very interesting, Steve, isn't it?
Yeah, they're the one...
I want to do it, but just...
Yeah, it is very interesting.
So the three meats, and this probably has more to do, Phil, with how animals evolved, where they lived before they became domesticated, as you say.
Right.
The first one is rabbit. The second one is duck, and the third one is venison.
What? Are you putting me on?
Hey, let me tell you something, Dickman. My wife talked...
I talked to the doctor, Dickman, all right?
Yeah, well, so, venison what? That's deer.
Yes, it's deer.
And rabbit and duck.
And rabbit and duck, yes.
That is interesting, and that is what veterinary medicine, veterinary science has determined is the best possible...
Yes, it's the best possible food for a cat. And I said to the doctor, that's interesting. And he said, we do have it. And I would recommend, he was talking now about if I had an older cat. And I said, we do. We have Pepperidge Farm. And he said, well, I don't know about Pepperidge Farm. He said, because he's got a big problem with Pepperidge Farm. The last time Pepperidge Farm was in, the doctor, Dr. Boozler, picked him up and was, you know, holding him. And Pepperidge Farm marked his territory in the doctor's arms.
And that means, you know...
That means he urinated.
Yeah, he peed on the doctor's smock.
Yes, he peed on the... What do you mean, smock?
That's the name of the long coat they wear.
Oh, wow. Get them.
You guys know all about that stuff.
Yeah, all right. And then what?
Well, he marked his territory, so he's not a big fan of Pepperidge Farm. But he did. He said, you have an older cat? And I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, is that Pepperidge Farm? I said, yeah. He said, no, I don't want you to waste it on him. So what I was going to suggest, Phil, is you, because I know you have Brea, and I know you have Thunder.
Well, see, now, Thunder was a kitten. Phil named Thunder the kitten because it was bigger than, you know, because the kitten was small and Thunder's big.
Yeah, well, he got his idea from me. Because we named our kitten.
Well, no, not exactly. No, it was a friend of mine was the one who named Thunder. Okay? She saw the kitten and immediately said, you know, it looks like, you know, this is a Thunder.
Well, then we had the same thought.
Well, actually, honey, you ripped off Mr. Henry.
Oh, I did. Oh, you dirty kitten.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Now, Miss Dooley.
I got it. I got this. No, I didn't rip anyone off.
You told me that you did.
All right, let's just let bygones be bygones in that one. She wasn't influenced by us.
Yeah, so then what?
Then what?
All right, so the doctor wanted to test out this food, the hypoallergenic food, on Pepperidge Farm.
Yes. No, he didn't.
Oh, that's right, because the cat peed on his coat.
Yes. So that's why I said to the doctor, well, I have a friend, the broadcaster, Phil Henry. And he said, who's that? And I explained the things that you do. And, you know, like, you used to make up the voices, and everybody would call in, and he went, uh-huh. And he just sort of stared right through me, so I said, all right, let's move this along. And I said, Mr. Henry has two cats. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings there, Phil.
No, not at all.
No, he's fine. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, anyway, he said, well, would you like to take a case for Mr. Henry? And I said, I certainly would, or he could drive out here to get it.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you...
Well, Mr. Underwood, my wife's offering you a gift.
That's very kind of you, Bobby. So that's a gift.
Well, no, you have to pay for it, but I got the case. And what did we get?
We got duck. We got the duck flavor, okay?
Is it duck or is it flavored duck?
No, it is duck meat. And there's venison, as I said, and there is rabbit.
Well, see, the thing is, we have a veterinarian. We have Anacapa Animal Hospital that we go to.
Anacapa, I'm not familiar.
It's very good.
Okay.
All right, we're just checking.
So what, man?
But just checking.
Anyway, my doctor probably has that, and they haven't recommended. The Brea, the old cat, is on all kinds of stuff. Brea, for instance, is on...
Yeah, that's nice, Phil. I'm not...
We're not talking about your cat. We're talking about Godzilla. You know?
Yeah, we're talking about the kitten Godzilla. But we were talking about Pepperidge Farm, so...
Well, Pepperidge Farm, the doctor said he didn't want to waste perfectly good cat food on that mangy thing. Those were his words, not mine.
This is your veterinarian? And he talks like that?
What did he say?
It's called a veterinarian.
All right, but the veterinarian does not like this cat.
I don't sense that he does. Dr. Boothler is wonderful. He loves animals. We nicknamed him Dr. Doolittle. And when we walk in, Steve, go ahead, do it.
Yeah, well, you do it first.
Okay, we are in the waiting room, and we've got Godzilla, or we have Pepperidge Farm, or we have our dog. I forget the name of our dog now.
Max.
Oh, Max. By the way, Max, isn't that the term?
I'll do it, because it's dirty. Max teabagged one of his cats.
Uh-huh. What a child, you know that?
Who, me?
All of you.
I didn't do anything wrong.
All right, so Max teabagged the cat. Is that something you got to take him to the veterinarian for?
Goodbye.
We can't hang up, honey.
That's right.
Yeah. So what I want to get to the bottom of now is that the cat, the dog, what about the dog?
Nothing about the dog. But the cat, I don't know. Now I'm confused, Steve. Here, you do it.
You can see my wife is very... Distraught.
I understand that, Mr. Dooley. So you got a case of cat food for me. And I said that my cat it doesn't seem to need it. And I was going to explain to you about Brea, okay?
Yeah, then we asked, do you have a dog?
We got a dog, but the dog, that's a hypoallergenic food is something that is needed if the animal is exhibiting some symptoms. So what? This is for Godzilla.
Yeah, it's for Godzilla because on account of that she just, she filled an entire cat box of diarrhea.
Yeah, Godzilla had the runs. Okay, and the doctors asked us what we feed her, and we feed her, pretty much what we cook, so chili.
Chili? For a kitten?
How dare you make me look like I hate my cat and feed it things that'll give it the Hershey squirts?
Yeah, how dare you say...
I got it, Steve.
Ms. Dooley, that's a ridiculous thing to feed to a kitten. Anyway...
So the doctor said that he thought Godzilla would do well on this food, and I got a case of it. An extra case for you, because I know of your old cat, Brea.
I thank you very much, but right now, with the doctor's got Brea on... Boy, this is fascinating. What is your pet eating?
Yeah, this is a little... I think it's stiffing out, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, I think it's very, very interesting. I think it's fascinating. You know, as I said, we have a retriever. Our retriever is Mark, and...
Your retriever's name is Mark?
What about it?
Wow.
Well, your cat's named Godzilla.
Shit.
All right. Everybody's got weird named cats and dogs, and that's kind of cool, so no problem.
But I think it is an interesting conversation, and these hypoallergenic foods, it's very interesting, the advances.
Can we move this along, because we wanted to find out from Mr. Henry?
We'll move it along in a moment, Mr. Dooley, or I'll...
Don't say it.
Hey, everybody calm the hell down. So anyway, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I think it was a business...
It was me. And I'm saying, Mark, our retriever, oh, fuck it.
All right, so Brea's on a kidney care thing. She's on a renal support.
What's that?
Yeah, what is renal support?
That's for her kidneys, because old cats get kidney disease and they get all kinds of problems. So that's what she's eating. And then there's the, like I said, the dog just eats dog food, and the other cat, Thunder, eats Friskies. So it's all good, but I appreciate that.
So what am I supposed to do with this case of cat food?
What flavor is it?
Yeah, it's duck flavored.
It's duck flavored. That's fine.
You don't want to give it to the dog?
Well, I mean, I suppose...
The doctor said that, you can give it to animals that don't have...
Animal.
That you can give it to animals that don't have any diseases.
So it's good for any kind of... even if the pet's not showing any symptoms.
That's right, yeah. So, and this one's duck flavor. And if you give it to the dog or the other cat, they may like it. I don't know.
All right. I mean, we're familiar with a lot of that veterinary food, and it's kind of...
You know something? A lot of times they don't... It's not very appealing to a human being, Phil, but the dogs like it.
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen animals turn their noses up at that stuff because it looks like pudding. It doesn't even look like dog food.
You mean pudding? God, I hope you're not eating it.
Mr. Henry, you're not trying it, are you?
No, I'm not.
Garrison, you go... You all right?
I'm fine. No, I'm not. I'm not trying it.
Okay, Phil. Well, in case you change your mind, I've got a case of the duck flavoring, and didn't we get...
Yeah, we got rabbit flavoring, too.
Why do you call it flavor? Isn't it rabbit meat, actual rabbit meat?
Yes, it is, but it disturbs me greatly when I...
Yeah, think of it, there's rabbit meat in there.
Well, it's what the cat ate, man. Rabbit meat and venison and duck.
Well, we have that, and what else?
We got the venison and the duck flavor.
Okay, so venison and duck flavor.
In other words, it's duck.
Yes, it's duck. Okay, you know, Tom, Duck, and Harry.
That's great, honey.
Thank you so very deeply. You know, Phil...
What a couple of morons, you know. Why do you have them on? Because they call up and request airtime? Because, you know, sometimes they got something worthwhile?
No, that's a good question. Why do you have them on? They're idiots. You know that. I know that. The audience knows that.
Well, they're always trying to make, you know, a big joke out of everything. Try to make a joke out of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're always trying to make a joke out of everything. Anyway.
Well, Phil, there's no reason to start making fun.
What was that whole thing about Dr. Doolittle?
Yeah, they were going to... Yeah, they called back.
They called back. What do they want?
I don't know. Miss Billy, what do you want? Mr. Henry just... God, she just cussed me out.
What do you mean she cussed you out?
I said, what do you want? And she said... She called me a dirty, dirty name.
Miss Dooley, you can call back...
Excuse me?
Bud said that you just called him the, CS...
Well, he's sitting there going, hey, what do you want? I'm Bobby Dooley. I'm the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. And we didn't finish our story about Dr. Boozler being Dr. Doolittle, right?
Yeah, that's the thing we didn't.
So when he comes into the waiting room, and we're waiting on him, and we go, or I'll say, okay, Steve, go.
If I could talk to an animal, talk to the animals, what would the animal say?
See? That's all we do.
Isn't that fantastic? And then what? Does the doctor just drop to his knees in appreciation?
Jesus.
Would you please hang up on us?
With pleasure.
I was just trying...
Return of the Mac. Ay, ay, ay.
What was that?
The song they were playing. But are you looking at these levels, man?
What about them?
They're all over the goddamn place, okay? I'm looking at stuff peaking. Now I'm screaming at the top of my voice, and everything is like flat... You know, there's no modulation at all.
I'm adjusting it. Yeah, it's adjusting on the fly.
Yeah, you're adjusting it on the fly.
What do you want me to do, man?
I don't know, man. It's jacked up. It's pissing me off.
You know what you want to do? You get that kid Adam in here and get this studio squared away before you flip your lid.
Yeah, it really is true. I mean, obviously you need to get some work done in here.
You know what? We're going to have to take a long weekend, like a Friday through a Monday, and get this... All right. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Back after this.
You want to get her to say yes? Wear pork fat cologne from the Leoneski family. Yes, pork fat cologne. Made from real pork fat. She won't be able to say no to you. Your charms, your wiles. You'll seduce her right there in the middle of the street with pork fat cologne.
Oh, God.
Pork fat. From the Leoneski family.
Hello, this is Tom Leoneski. If you like to seduce ladies, have sex with them in the middle of a subway car, or perhaps in the back of the taxi, maybe even have sex publicly on your front lawn, get the pork fat cologne. Pork fat cologne from us, the Leoneski family.
Hi.
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 Pork fat cologne.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my name is Billy Johnson, and every morning I do the Billy Johnson Report on K-Sneeze, K-N-E-E-Z, your local radio station for the Snoqualmie Valley. I do the weather, and then I do another one that I do is some news, and I do it for people that don't read too good and can't really hear too good and are only like 8.
Billy and the News. Tomorrow morning and every morning at 7:30, right here on K-Sneeze.
Is it, okay, and yeah, thank you.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Now, back to Phil Henry.
Thanks a lot. I would like to ask you to give us a rating and review on iTunes. That would be very much appreciated, General.
That's exactly right. A rating and review on iTunes. And you tell the world what you think of the Phil Henry Show. Hopefully it's something good. And then people read that. And the people at iTunes, who probably don't know what they're doing anyway, they go, ooh, we better move Phil Henry's show up a few notches on the tune decks or whatever.
So go to iTunes, give us a rating and review. And we would really, 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 really appreciate that.
Yeah, give us a good rating and review, and we'll love you all the live long day. And I believe we've got another bar fight in the works.
Are you kidding me? That'd be bitching.
Yeah, people like that.
Yeah, well, that's what we're having a meeting on Friday, and I think we may have a bar fight in the works. That and other cool stuff. Now, if you don't have a backstage pass, you should get one. It is a subscription to our website, and it's well worth it. 35,000 hours, man, and getting bigger all the time, if you'll pardon the expression, of audio shows from Miami, shows from Los Angeles, shows that go back as far as, I mean, not a lot. You know, prior to Miami, I think we got one.
Well, you've got one Minneapolis show, and that's it. But the Miami archives are getting bigger and better. And
yeah, we've got 200 hours of Miami stuff that we still got to review. We got a lot of hours of LA stuff we still have to review. So this archive, already the largest radio repository of Phil Henry material in the universe, is getting larger, fatter, throbbing, and...
Isn't that nice?
Well, anyway, so enjoy it, man. Just get a backstage pass, and also we videocast every show, so, and whether that's good or not, I don't know, but right now I'm on the video, and people watching me are looking at me.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, and right behind him is a newspaper, and now there's another thing.
Yeah, well, there are slides, bud.
Yeah, there's slides.
Yeah, we're rolling slides. Sometimes you see the El Pacifico behind us. So for a, you know, I'd say a very fair price, a month subscription, a year subscription, the world-famous Phil Henry Show gets you what we consider to be the finest offering in the history of God on this planet. And also...
oh, my God, aren't you humble?
Well, might as well... Call him as we see him, as Gil Stratton used to say.
Jesus Christ, you just mentioned the name Gil Stratton. I hadn't heard the name Gil Stratton in years.
Well, and it'll probably be years before you hear Gil Stratton.
Well, I'll tell people who he is, Mr. Henry.
Gil Stratton, if you've ever seen the movie, well, this is going to be totally 35, 54-year-old and older stuff. They're like Stalag 17.
Oh, that's dating yourself.
Or Marlon Brando's The Wild One. Gil Stratton always played like a second banana little guy, but he took his success as an actor and he turned it into a career as a sportscaster here in L.A. I mean, it was funny, but you'd see Gil Stratton in the movie, and then the next thing you knew, he was on every night on Channel 2, I think it was.
Yes, it was Channel 2, the big news. Okay, right. I mean, I'm not from here. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Well, all right. Well, hold on. Then why are you talking about it?
Because I happen to have Oh, my God, General.
She knows people.
Yeah, well, you don't know anybody for... It was the big news.
I was going to say that.
I'll do it. The big news with Jerry Dunphy.
Ralph's story.
Yeah, Ralph's story. Then they had... Will you let me do it, please? Yeah, go right ahead. Shit.
Man. Did you hear that?
Phil, you went, aha!
Yeah, Mr. Aries.
Was it effeminate?
Kinda.
Okay. Who gives a crap what I'm talking about?
Finish the story, Phil.
Yeah. So Gil Stratton did the sports. And he always started it by saying, hi, everybody. It's time to call him as we see him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was it, man. I mean, it was no...
Well, then why did you waste our time?
No, that's an interesting story.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to lift it, and it's now going to be mine. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry. Time to call him as we see him. What that means, I don't know. All right. Now this is something we got Jeff Dowder calling in about. Jeff Dowder, as you know, is a contributor to the program. He is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. He drove a snowplow for the city of Huntington Beach, which is the most asinine thing I've ever heard of.
Well, you know, it took him about 2 weeks to figure out they didn't need one.
Right. He is kind of an all-around knockabout guy, knows a little bit about everything. We've got Jeff on because he watches a lot of TV. Now, here's the thing. I never watched Walking Dead. I watched it for the very first time about a month ago.
Now, what do you think of it?
I think it's good, but there's a lot of stuff that, like, doesn't add up.
You know, And that was one of the most popular shows. It's still on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still on.
One of the most popular shows ever. And Henry's got to sit here and lift his leg to it.
What is it with you, Phil? Every time people like something, you want to go ahead and pull it out and just hose something off with it.
Jesus!
Well, that's what you do. No, he doesn't.
I'm just saying one thing about it, and I'm going to ask Jeff. I watched it, and now there's a Fear of the Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, there's a Fear of the Walking Dead. Why wouldn't there be?
The show's called that. Oh.
Yeah.
So Jeff Dowder is going to join us from Temple City, California, if you don't mind here, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about... So Jeff, you watched the Walking Dead, and do you still watch it?
Yeah, I don't watch it as much as I used to, because... there's other stuff that's on TV right now. I am down with Fear of Walking Dead, and I'm into The Handmaid's Tale, and I'm into a variety of programmings that are on right now.
Well, my question for the Walking Dead thing, man, is why didn't they ever use fire to torch these zombies?
Who are you referring to?
You must be talking about the survivors, right?
Yeah, the survivors.
Why didn't they do what?
Why did they not use fire? Why didn't they get some torches?
Oh, you're talking about set the zombies on fire?
Yeah.
I think they did.
No, they didn't. They never did. They only did it sometimes by accident.
Yeah.
I've never seen the program, so I don't know.
What do you mean by accident?
Yeah, like that, the one time they put a flare gun and they shot a flare into the zombie head.
Now, this is the who?
This is the show The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
So say it again.
Look, man, there's only so many ways I can say it.
Well, you wanted me to...
Why did they not, in the show, The Walking Dead...
Well, first of all, Mr. Henry, think about it, okay? If you have a zombie and you set it on fire, it's walking all over the place. You don't know what if it walks into a guy, you know?
Wait a minute, I'm not saying in every instance. I'm saying there were times on that show where the zombies would be out in... like a wide open expanse. Like, remember the time?
I've been a long time since I've ever watched it.
Well, there was a time they had them all in a looked like a rock quarry.
What do you mean, like in a pit?
Yeah. Why didn't they use fire then?
Well, I know the one you're talking about when they had the trucks.
Yeah.
Because if you use, you gotta understand something about that show, Frank. You know, the guys that wrote it, I mean, this is a classic graphic novel, okay?
What does that mean, graphic novel?
It was basically a comic book.
No, it's not a comic book, no. It's an illustrated book.
All right, fine.
Oh, you guys want to feel like you're all grown up, huh?
Hey, General, check out The Walking Dead. Did you see Preacher Gone to Texas?
I like that one.
Yeah, so it's not no comic book. It's...
Okay, it's not no comic book. Anyway... So what's the answer to Phil's question?
Well, I mean, first of all, the zombies move around. If you get a bunch of zombies that are set on fire and they decide to scatter, brother, you got a big problem, man. That's going to set everything in town on fire. That could set on people's would be on fire. Houses would be on fire.
You know what, man? You're giving me the right answer, but it's like the wrong answer.
What's that supposed to mean?
What's that mean, Mr. Henry?
Because, yeah, that makes sense in the abstract. But the fact is, on show after show, they were out on a highway one time, a wide open highway. You could have, like, thrown gasoline on all of these, and there was a lot of them, man. There was like a couple of hundred, maybe even 1,000 of these zombies. And they're all like, well, we got to get out of here, you know, and they're, you know, and if they waded into them with knives and all that crap, why didn't they just set these bastards on fire?
If you're, where was they?
On an open highway.
All right. I mean, I realize, first of all, Rick, the guy that led the survivors, was a cop, and it's going to go against every instinct that he has to set fire to zombies and cause a complete, you know, obstacle, a road hazard like that, even though there's no humans. I understand no one's in cars, but it goes against the instinct, okay?
Bullshit.
Wow, man.
Well, Phil, he's giving you an answer.
Why don't you just say that they made a mistake in the writing?
They did not make a mistake in the writing. That's probably one of the best written shows in the history of TV. Hey, don't mess with The Walking Dead. It's one of the greatest shows. The Walking Dead kicked off one of the great renaissances in television history from the success of that show. Well, I mean, I guess House of Cards did too, but I mean, The Walking Dead.
American Zombie?
Yeah, I was thinking of something. I don't know what I was thinking of. I was thinking of something else. That's one of the best written shows ever in the history of television, so you got to kind of tread lightly. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
You probably should, Mr. Henry, because it's a great show.
Yeah, all right, man. I'll tread real lightly on this thing, but I'm still going to ask the question. It's no big thing, man. I just wanted to get you on here because I know that you dig the shows, you watch them. I think that it's a large gaping hole in the writing.
Well, I think if you
gotta slow down, man.
Okay, if you think about it, if you set a zombie on fire and it staggers around, it's going to bump into a tree, set that on fire, bump into a human, set him on fire, and they're all going for humans. And just because you set them on fire doesn't mean they're going to stop wanting human flesh, you know? The only way that it'll stop is if the fire reaches the head, you know, and cooks up the brain. And, you know, so...
Well, Phil, you're thinking that if he set that they set the zombies on fire, they'd suddenly not attack the humans... But what Jeff's saying is they would begin to scatter, and they would hazard other things.
All right, now, a little bit of that makes sense.
Well, what do you mean, a little bit?
Because there's, like, the quarry, where they're all down there in the rock pit, you know.
Well, I mean, you could set all of them on fire down there, man. It doesn't mean it's going to kill them. You got to go down there and check them out, you know. The whole reason why they were freaked out about that quarry is on account of the zombies was getting out. They'd compromised the trucks and everything, and then they had to go over there and figure it out. But if they're down there, I mean, I don't know, they're still alive.
Yeah, but if they're down there and they're still alive, who cares?
You've got to make sure, man. Otherwise, they're going to, you know...
Yeah, but they're like half a body, man, and you're living 3 miles away.
Even if the dude's half a body, he can crawl using his arms and get to your house probably within probably a day and a half.
What do you mean a day and a half?
Well, if you're half a body and you're crawling along, I don't know.
Yeah, all right, Well, thank you, Jeff. That's all I wanted to know about that.
Okay. You know.
Anything else that's happening on TV that you dig?
Well, yeah, like The Handmaid's Tale. I know you're into that, Mr. Henry.
That's a great show.
Yeah, it's a dystopian show about how, you know, the country's taken over by these fundamentalists, but weird fundamentalists, and they want all the women who are still able to have babies, okay?
Now, what does that mean? Was there some nuclear war or something?
No, but there was so much venereal disease... So, you know, they sort of... Well, I know the book was written by Margaret Atwood.
Yes, that's it.
All right, and Margaret Atwood wrote it, you know, that I guess kind of like, you know, society had so much venereal disease that women were sterile. And I guess that's why the Christianity took it over. They never say Christianity, though.
No, I wouldn't imagine that they would, but what's happened is we recognize it as kind of a fundamentalist thing.
Well, it's extreme, though, right?
Yeah, it's a really extreme thing, you know, in case people are worried about how it makes Christians look and everything. But that's a cool show because these women are, like, you know, it's a police state, basically, and these women are forced to have these babies, and they're forced to have sex with the commanders. Okay, Mr. Henry, okay?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Who are the commanders, please?
Oh, the commanders are the guys that... They're like the heads of society. Yeah, on account of this society's run by men, you know, and see, there's a lot of things that I like about it. And
yeah, sure. Yeah, the women are really going to go along with this one.
The commanders are the religious hierarchy, and they have these handmaidens that have to have sex with them. The wives are in the room.
What is this show?
No, but I mean, it's done clean. It's done Christian clean. So everybody's dressed except for the underwear of the, I guess. Don't you think, Mr. Henry?
You've got the stage, man.
What?
You have... Go ahead. You explain it.
Well, I mean...
Phil.
All right. They're in the room.
I'll do it. They're in the room, and the girl... The handmaiden has no underwear on, you have to assume, because she's having sex with the commander, who must not have no pants on. Otherwise, everybody's fully dressed.
And the wife is there.
Yeah, the commander's wife is there, and she... is who he's supposed to be looking at. She's got, like, the handmaiden is laying down on the bed with her head between the legs.
With her head between what?
I swear to God, with her head between the legs of the wife, but it's not sex.
Yeah, you know, she's just laying there, and it's kooky. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah, totally creepy. And then you see how corrupt everything is, because the commanders, even though they're pretending like they're all religious, they go to a brothel. You know?
Oh, well, that figures. So they go to the brothel and they have themselves a regular hedonistic life.
Yeah, I mean, basically this show and the writing is about the level of religious hypocrisy that brings this fictitious world to this point. And so you dig that show, huh?
Yeah, I think it's pretty rad, and I'm following it. It's in the season two. I'm surprised you haven't looked at it yet, Mr. Henry.
I'm going to catch up on Hulu. But, you know, at the end of last season, they had taken her off.
Well, why?
Because she'd been captured by the state police because she led a rebellion.
Yeah, they were supposed to stone this girl to death. And that's the other thing about this show that's kind of just way creeped out. Like if you commit an offense against the state, they'll do things like take your eye.
What are you talking about now?
They do.
Yeah, they took this girl's eye, and one of the husbands who was caught screwing around with another, he was caught screwing off hours, let's say.
Off hours?
Yeah, they had a handmaiden, and you're supposed to have sex with her with the wife present, but this dude was, you know, hitting her up when the wife wasn't there.
Yeah, and so the wife reported him to the high council, and they go, well, yeah, and the guy goes, well, you know, let's let it slide. And this dude goes, this wife, she loves him so much that she wants to make sure he never sins again. So she wants to make sure it's a very, very, you know, strict punishment. So they cut the dude's arm off.
Like, but the guy was awake?
No, man. They
it's like surgery. Yeah, they cut this dude's arm off. So it's a pretty interesting show. You're into that, huh?
Yeah, I am.
And anything else?
No, well, I mean, right now I'm kind of working a little bit more at Caltech. I got two classes on weekends, and basically I'm up in Mint Canyon about three nights a week with Toby Bow and Clarence and White Fang. And
who is White Fang?
That's White Sail's girlfriend. And
her name is White Fang.
Yeah. What's the deal?
Because it's kind of a weird name to give a woman, but
nobody gave her that. She took it for herself. She liked it. Her real name is like Clarice or Cheryl or something like that.
Why she called herself White Fang?
Because she saw a puppet or something that was named that.
All right, man.
I mean, Mr. Ernie, you get me on your show and you go, hey, yeah, here's Jeff Dowder. And
all right, Jeff, I'm sorry.
No, wait. You get me on your show, hey, here's Jeff Dowder. And, then I have a comment. You go, okay, you know, like, God, man.
I'm sorry, dude. I really am.
Okay. Just saying.
Get out a little more respect.
Hey, I got all the respect in the world. Thank you, Jeff, very much.
All right. And the... Bless
Jeff Dowder on the world-famous Phil Henry Show there with... A description of the handmaids.
It's the Handmaid's Tale. In the name of everything holy, you jackasses.
Hey, man, I mean, I corrected it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, Mr. Henry did.
At the beginning, I know, I think I probably called it Handmaiden's Tale.
And this is the hot new show.
One of them, man. I mean, one of them. You know, television's gotten good. It's gotten real, real good.
Except for the shows you're on.
Exactly. I was only kidding about the shows that I'm on.
No, yeah, sure.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
And don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a rating and review and tell the world, tell the countryside, tell the cityscape, tell everyone you know that you enjoy the Phil Henry Show podcast daily. You'll be glad you did.